We sing a song called Celebrate here. We have for a long time, probably as long as we've been in church. The words are very simple. Celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. He is risen. He is risen. Celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Celebrate. Many people think that to be a good Christian, you have to give up having a good time. Is this true? In the NFL, since they can't do some of the things they used to do in the end zone, they say that the NFL stands for No Fun League. Well, does Christianity stand for No Fun Life? Do we have to be serious all the time? Should we be frowning instead of smiling because we're concentrating so hard? Not happy. Not happy. We can talk about joy, but we can't talk about happiness. What can we celebrate? Can we celebrate? Is that the way it is? And many people think that that's the way church is. Church is just serious and solemn and no fun. And in this series, Summer of Luke, we're going to look at a passage that speaks against that. Chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. Where Jesus is in a string of controversies with the Pharisees. Now, they really are the no-fun leaders of the Jewish community. They are very serious people, believing very serious things. They believed that you had to go a certain way in order to do things right. And if you didn't do it that certain way, well, you were just to be avoided. They believed that it was all about purity. And that's true. Israel is to be a holy people, according to Leviticus 19:2. But they took it a little too far. They believed that defilement, as they defined it, belonged to the realm of death and demons. Their religious posture, according to one of my commentaries, was basically defensive. How do we protect ourselves from contagion? While Jesus is in this string of controversies with the Pharisees, he's also calling the disciples who would become the 12. And one of them is here, most likely. Levi, sitting at his tax booth. Jesus says, "Follow me," and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, there is no list of disciples of the 12 that has Levi in it, but Matthew 9:9 has the exact same story, except the name is changed. The tax collector's name is Matthew. So perhaps, most likely, this is Matthew Levi that we're reading about and his call to be one of the 12. So Jesus is calling the disciples. He calls Levi. Levi accepts the call, and immediately, apparently the first thing he did after that was have a great feast. He wanted to invite all his friends, which in this case meant other tax collectors and what the Bible calls others. And he also invites Jesus. Now here's the thing. Jesus comes. He's at the party. He's part of the celebration. He wasn't necessarily saying, "Oh, this is a serious and solemn thing. I need to stay away or I might be defiled." In fact, that doesn't seem to be on his mind at all. But it is on the mind of the Pharisees. So they go to the disciples and say, "What are you doing?" In fact, they say, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors?" And instead of saying sinners, they say, well, instead of saying others, they say sinners. Jesus responds to them because he's responsible for them. Even though the Pharisees talk to the disciples, Jesus is the one who answers. And he doubles down on what he's doing. He says, "This is why I'm here. This is what I came to do." And apparently that involves celebration. So our previous question, can we celebrate? Apparently the answer is yes, according to Jesus himself. Jesus apparently enjoys going to a good party. Jesus was invited, and Jesus went. Christianity is many things. But one of the things it is most surely is an invitation. In fact, we use that word invitation at times in church services to call people to make a commitment to Christ one way or the other. We invite them. It's called the invitation. Christianity asks us to join Jesus on his journey. Jesus said to Levi, "Follow me." You can see that as a command, but you can also see it as a glorious invitation to a wonderful life of discipleship. An invitation that led to a celebration. Because in Christ, it's okay to be happy. Now, building your life on happiness is hard because happiness is an emotion. It comes and it goes. Much better to build your life on joy, because joy is something solid that is founded on the outstanding goodness of God. But happiness, which comes from joy, is still good. There's nothing wrong with it, as long as it is directed in the right way. Levi has just received good news. As Luke says in chapter 2, verse 10, when the angel appeared to the shepherds, he said, "I bring you good news of great joy." I bet that was a happy day for those shepherds. And I bet this day that we read here in Luke chapter 5 was a happy day for Matthew Levi. A day he always looked back on with a smile. So, Christianity is an invitation. It is a message that you belong. You are welcome. We want you to be part of what we're doing. And that's what Jesus is saying to Levi. Follow me. Be a part of what I'm doing. And Levi turns around and invites Jesus, "Come with me to my party." And Jesus says, "Okay, I will." And he did. This was a powerful message to a social outcast. Tax collectors were not very highly thought of in the society of their time. And yet, Jesus reaches out to the outcasts. He brings in the marginalized. He welcomes those who are needy, whatever their social status is. And he was so inviting that Levi at once got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Now, it probably took him some time to settle his affairs, so the idea of getting up, leaving everything, probably doesn't mean he just walked away and never came back. But in his heart, he had made a break. He wasn't going to live this way anymore. He wasn't going to live as though money was the most important object in life. Instead, he was going to live as though Jesus is the most important person in his life. And he was going to follow him wherever that road took him. He was fully committed. And then Levi invites a large crowd. It sounds like he invited everybody he knew, and they came. Even though the people he knew were other social outcasts like himself, the ones that usually didn't get invited to much of anything. Jesus also came to this feast because Christianity is an invitation. And Jesus wanted to show Matthew how much he loved him. And he has another motive too that we'll talk about in just a minute. But you have been invited by Jesus at some point in your life. If no other point, then now. He's inviting you through this message to follow him, to come and see, to walk with him. What will you do with his invitation? Will you accept it and know the joy of being with Jesus? Will you find that there is delight in being his disciple? Or will you reject the invitation? Or will you postpone the invitation? Or will you rationalize the invitation? If you have accepted the invitation, and if you haven't, I pray that today would be the day. But if you already have, who have you invited to join Jesus and you in your journey? Who in your sphere of influence have you talked to? Who have you opened the door to be with Jesus? In verse 27, it says, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi. And the word saw here is not just like he glanced over him and just chose him at random. The word saw means here observed. He paid attention to Levi. He had Levi in mind. Perhaps Jesus has you in mind today. But if you have already accepted his invitation, who do you have in mind to talk to about Jesus? To invite to the party? Christianity is an invitation that is to be accepted and is to be made. Because we have been invited, we are to invite others. It's what we do. We cannot save them. We cannot forgive their sins. Those are things that only Jesus can do. But we can invite. We can encourage. Many years ago, a friend of the family named Henry knocked on my front door, and he wanted to talk to me, not my mother or my father or my sister. He wanted to invite me to the youth group that he was the advisor for, and he wanted me to see a documentary on the moon landing, which lets you know how old I am and how long ago that was. But I said, okay. I was reluctant at first because, honestly, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was kind of like Levi, sort of a social misfit. But I went. And I went again. And went again. Over the course of time, went regularly, and through that youth group, found that Jesus was inviting me to follow him. And I accepted his invitation because I had accepted Henry's invitation before that. It started with an invitation by somebody in Henry's sphere of influence that he welcomed in. Now, before I go any further, I have to say, you must accept the invitation. You can't postpone it or rationalize it and then go and invite somebody else. You need to accept Christ's invitation and follow him. If you try to invite someone before you yourself have accepted, then you're not there to welcome that invited guest, and what a shame that would be. When I came to my youth group meeting that first time, Henry was there to welcome me. The person who invites you must always be there to welcome you so that you feel like you belong. Levi was invited by Jesus. So since Levi invited Jesus, Jesus came. Jesus does not come to every party. If you're dishonoring God in what you're doing, he won't be there. But he comes when the party is for him. And it says here in verse 27, actually verse 28. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. He hosted it, but Jesus was the guest of honor. And that kind of party, Jesus will come to. He will accept that invitation. And he didn't worry about the fact that sinners were there. You see, Jesus believed that his purity was stronger than their impurity. Remember, I said that the Pharisees were worried about being impure, and so they stayed away from people who they thought were impure because they believed that if they didn't, they would catch the impurity. It was as though they were contagious. And Jesus believed the exact opposite. He believed his holiness was contagious. He believed that he could destroy the impurity so it no longer had the capacity to render others impure, as one of my commentaries puts it. I think that's fabulous. Instead of staying hidden, afraid that somehow someone else's impurity is going to overcome your purity, in following Jesus, we realize that his purity overcomes impurity. In him, anyone can be transformed. In him, all can find true spiritual health. And that's why he says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And he's saying, in essence, I'm the doctor. I'm the one that can bring healing. I'm the one that can bring hope. I'm the one that can bring joy. God invites everyone to respond to this call, to this invitation. Again, my commentary has a phrase here that I just think is fabulous, and so I'm going to read it. God's indiscriminate goodness to sinners. Isn't that cool? That God is so good, he is that good, that his goodness can overcome all else. And so, for the Pharisees to be restored to fellowship, to have sin be gone from you, you have to verbalize your gift to God. You had to also tell those you had injured to be forgiven. You had to demonstrate your repentance by changing your lifestyle to conform to their rules. There has to be evidence that you're truly remorseful. You have to have turned away from wrongdoing. All of these hoops to jump through. Who really was capable of doing that? The rules had to be defined a certain way for that to even be possible. On the other hand, Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners implies that God indeed is indiscriminately good. There's no record here of these tax collectors and sinners being asked to do anything other than come to the party, other than accept the invitation. And there, they would find themselves invited once again. In some fashion, in some way, at some point, to join Jesus. God doesn't expect you to change before you meet him. He doesn't expect you to wear better clothes or to get cleaned up or to look your very best. In fact, quite the opposite. He wants you to come as you are, as long as you come. The Pharisees were more like a restaurant that you might go to, the kind of restaurant that if it had a menu, it would have no prices on the menu, because if it had to put a price on, you probably couldn't afford it. And you're trying to get into that restaurant, but all you brought with you were shorts and a t-shirt, and you need to wear a dress jacket, and let's say in this restaurant, they didn't even supply that. That would be the Pharisees. You have to meet these standards, and we're not going to help you. You're on your own, chief. Hope you make it. Jesus, on the other hand, just says, come. I take you as you are. You won't stay this way, but that'll be because of me, not you. Just follow me and delight in what you discover. So come one, come all, but come. And if you don't come, God will find a way to come to you, just as Jesus did with Levi. And once you have come, you need to respond to the invitation. You need to RSVP. RSVP means respondez s'il vous plaît, which means in French, respond if you please. And it means, let me know what you're doing. Are you coming or are you not? And at some point, a response will be required. And it can't be, not today. Not always. At some point, it'll be, do you accept or reject the invitation? The right response is repentance. Jesus is at the party, but that doesn't mean that he's goofing around. He's there for a serious purpose, too. He's there, as he says to the Pharisees, to call sinners to repentance. He's there to find lost sheep. This is what the Good Shepherd is supposed to do. And Jesus calls himself in John chapter 10, verse 10, the Good Shepherd. But we don't need the New Testament for this, although that's fine. In Ezekiel 34, verse 11, God says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. A little later, he says, I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And later he says, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Jesus, again phrased from the commentary, serves the needy with reckless abandon. He reaches out to those who are not in good shape. Those are the ones who need him. What does repentance mean? According to Leighton Ford, evangelist with the Billy Graham Association, a phrase I've always remembered, repentance is not an additive. Repentance is an alternative. Because Christianity is an alternative, not an additive. You don't need an adjustment. You need an overhaul. You need things to be entirely different than they were. Levi needed to do things entirely differently than he had been doing them. Levi needed to repent. He needed to walk away from everything he had before valued in order to replace that set of values with a new set where Jesus was at the top. And when he did that, it was a good day. It was a happy day. It was a day of celebration. Why not throw a feast? Repentance is a process that involves both you and Jesus. He invites, and you respond. It's important to remember, though, to respond with repentance, to respond the right way, because Jesus told another parable in Luke chapter 14. And he said, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. So it's important that you respond well. It is no small thing and it is no light thing to repent. But once you do, it is a delight to be in the presence of Jesus. It's a good, happy, great celebration day. So what will you do now? The invitation has been extended through God's word. What will your response be? Christianity is an invitation. If you want to be a good Christian, accept the invitation and be a repentant Christian. And you will have the best of times. Because he will invite you to a better party than you can ever imagine. Will you come? Because it'll change your life for the better. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to think about these things and to respond to your invitation. And I pray that all who hear this will respond to you by accepting the invitation. In your indiscriminate goodness, you do not expect us to come good. You just expect us to come and through you to become better than we've ever been. So this is what we ask. And we thank you that you will come to our party if we hold it for you, that you will join us as we invite our friends, our sphere of influence, to meet you, to know you, to walk with you, to follow you. Father, bless us as we do these things and grant us your grace at all times. In your name we pray. Amen.